I invite you to take your Bibles with me and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. I would like to introduce our study this morning with two observations of the text. The first observation, 1 Corinthians 4 verse 14, marks a definite change in tone in this letter. Whereas Paul has confronted the Corinthians up to this point, he now comforts them. Whereas Paul has rebuked the Corinthians up to this point, he now reassures them. Chapter 4, verse 14, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. Picture a father who has sternly corrected his child for playing in the street, holding the child by the shoulders and speaking directly into their face, explaining the danger of the busy street. But then the father gathers the child up into his arms and holds them close, whispering in their ear, I don't want you to play in the street because the street is dangerous. And I love you and I don't want you to be hurt. The first observation I would make is that our text marks a definite change in tone. The second observation I would make is that 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14 to 21 has a definite focus intended. Initially, my attention was captured by the subject of this passage, that is the Apostle Paul. As you read through verses 14 to 21, you repeatedly find the word I, as Paul refers to himself as the subject. In fact, look at it with me. Verse number 14, I do not write. The end of verse 14, I warn. Verse 15, I have begotten you. Verse 16, I urge you. Verse 17, I have sent Timothy. The end of verse 17, I teach everywhere. Verse number 19, I will come to you. I will know. Verse 21, shall I come to you? And at first blush, it appears to be all about Paul, the subject. However, as I continued to read and reread and meditate on this passage, I determined that the greater emphasis is not on the subject or Paul, but on the object, the Corinthian believers. Paul's care and concern was for them. Paul's burden was for them. Paul's instruction and activity is for them. The passage is not about the Apostle Paul, but about the Corinthians and their needs. The second observation I would make is that this text has a definite focus intended. There is a definite change in tone. There is a definite focus intended. And with these two observations, I have written a summary statement at the top of your notes. Speaking as a spiritual father who loves his children. The Apostle Paul for the Corinthian church. Paul named five needs of the Corinthians and announced his desire to meet those needs. And this morning I propose to you, as I've written there, those needs are common to each believer. And those needs can be met by spiritual fathers among us. I've titled my message this morning from 1 Corinthians 4, verses 14 to 21, Follow Your Father. Let's pause for prayer, shall we? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name and we ask that your Spirit might be our teacher, and that your word might change us. God, help us to understand the meaning of this text in its context. And then, Lord, as we go from this place, help us to make application of it. God, we are a needy people. We have needs. Some are public needs. Some are private needs. Some are material needs. Many are spiritual needs. And each of us need a father to care for us and to meet those needs. We pray, Lord, that you would go before us now in our study. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians 4, verse number 14. Again, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. Roman numeral number 1 in my notes, each believer needs direction. Each believer needs direction. The word translated warn at the end of verse 14 in my New King James Version is the Greek word nuthateo, which is most commonly translated admonish, as it is in the New American Standard or the English Standard Version, other current translations. the noutheteo, the warn there, or the admonish. To the Thessalonians, Paul wrote using the very same word, "We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, noutheteo you, and to esteem them very highly for their work's sake." Perhaps you recognize the Greek term noutheteo from the term nouthetic counseling. Nouthetic counseling is really admonishment or admonishment counseling or admonishing counseling or warning counseling. And it's the idea that believers do not need to be coddled in their sin, but admonished from the scriptures, redirected to think and to act biblically. And noutheteo is the correction of direction by warning and admonishing others to go a different direction. Just as sheep need a shepherd to point them in the right direction, so also believers need a father or a pastor or a leader to point them in the right way. In fact, when you come to me for counsel, when you come to me as your pastor for counsel, it is my goal to listen to your need. To listen to your need until a Bible passage or pattern or person or principle or precept comes to mind. And that it is my goal to bring that to bear upon your need and admonish you. And to warn you and to point you in the right direction. You see, we all need that. However, lest you think that this is the activity reserved exclusively for the Apostle Paul or for the professional pastor, think again. Some people's idea is that it's the psychologist or the psychiatrist or the dramatic talk show host who can provide the best counsel. But Romans 15:14 says this, "I am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish." That's the word, noutheteo, able to warn or able to admonish one another. And so it is that while we each need direction, each believer needs direction, each believer is able to give that direction. We have a responsibility to noutheteo each other, to admonish one another. We are to encourage one another, Hebrews 3. We are to comfort one another, 1 Thessalonians 4. We are to build up one another, 1 Thessalonians 5. We are to confess our sins to one another and pray for one another, James 5. Romans 5 teaches that those who are strong among us ought to bear the weaknesses of the weak. Galatians 6 demands that if anyone is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, bearing one another's burdens and so fulfilling the law of Christ. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another." That's the word again, noutheteo, admonishing one another. You say, "But Pastor, I've never gone to Bible college. I don't have a seminary degree. What can I offer?" Every time you read the scriptures, every time you sit under the sound of Bible preaching and teaching, you are taking a biblical counseling class. For all scripture is profitable for doctrine. That's what is right. For reproof, that's what is not right. For correction, that's how to get right. For instruction in righteousness, that's how to stay right, so that the man of God might be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I would encourage you to attend an adult Bible fellowship Sunday school class at the 9:15 hour. I would encourage you to sign up for a Twin Cities Bible Institute class. I would encourage you to spring for a formal seminary degree. But in either case, it is not only the trained professionals or the paid clergymen who are able to give Bible direction, but rather every man and woman who is filled with the fruits of the Spirit and filled with the knowledge of God and His Word can noutheteo. And then when we are confronted by the invitations of our culture, calling us to go this direction or calling us to go that way, we as believers will move in the right direction. We need that admonishment. We need that warning. And by the way, one additional comment. If you are on the receiving end of Bible admonishment, of Bible warning, of Bible counsel, if you are on the receiving end of noutheteo, understand that that admonishment is not to shame you. It is to warn you. Because someone loves you. loves you enough to point you in the right direction. Warning. Danger ahead. Bridge out. Don't go there. That's what Paul is doing to the Corinthians in verse number 14. Each believer needs direction or perhaps redirection. Look at verse number 15. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Number two, each believer needs a daddy. Each believer needs a daddy. Assuming that each of us are nuthetically admonishing one another, that is provoking one another to love and good works, we might have 10,000 instructors in Christ. Or at least in this place, I don't know, 550 or 600 instructors in Christ. And using a bit of hyperbole, Paul acknowledges that it can be a bit overwhelming. Today, with Christian radio and Christian television and Christian literature and Christian conferences and Christian blogs, we can find ourselves deluged in spiritual instruction. And that can be good and that can be bad, but ultimately, we each need a spiritual daddy, a spiritual father. 4-year-old little Johnny asked, "Mommy, where do babies come from?" Why, from heaven, dear, replied Johnny's mom. "Mommy, who keeps bad people from robbing our house?" asked little Johnny. "Well, the police, dear," answered Johnny's mother. "Mommy, if our house was on fire, who would save us?" "The fire department." "Mommy, where does food come from?" "Well, from farmers." "Mommy?" "Yes, Johnny." "What do we need daddy for?" What do we need daddy for? There are so many other people that take care of so many other things. What do we need daddy for? In verse number 15, Paul describes himself as a father, a spiritual father to the Corinthians. But he's not claiming credit for their conversion. Their spiritual birth in Christ and through the gospel began when the ministry of the Spirit of God and the Word of God drew those Corinthians to God, and by faith they called on the name of the Lord. But Paul does assure them that of all the talking heads that are out there, of all of their counselors, of all of their instructors, Paul had a very special relationship with them. He loved them in a very special way. He was a spiritual father figure to them. That's why he calls them my beloved children at the end of verse 14. And of all of the people, a father is one who should love his children enough to warn them of danger and give them direction. Don't go that way. Follow this way. Don't play in the street. It's not safe. Each believer needs a daddy. Now, this letter from Paul to the Corinthians is filled with corrections. And Paul confronts the Corinthians with being disobedient, with being immoral, with being immature, with being proud. But they were loved as a father loves his children. Paul loved them. If you look back to verse 14, the word there, beloved, in verse 14 is the verb agapao, which is the strongest and the deepest love. It's more than brotherly love, that's phileo. It is the love that is determined and willful. It's a love that purposes with the volition, with the will, to serve the one who is loved. And that is the love of God. That is the love of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. That is the agape love of God. It's the love that brought Jesus Christ from the glories of heaven to this filthy earth to be our substitute. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were unlovely, God loved us. And our heavenly Father assures us that he loves us with an everlasting love. And so Paul explains that we as believers need a spiritual daddy who will love us unconditionally. And to the Corinthians, he was that spiritual father. Look at verse 16 and 17. Therefore, because of this, I urge you, imitate me For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. Number three, each believer needs a design. Each believer needs a design. We need a design to duplicate. We need an example to emulate. We need a model to mimic. In fact, the word followers or imitate in verse 16 is the equivalent of our English word mimic. We recognize that many times a son is the likeness of his father. We say that boy is the spitting image of his father. That boy is just like his dad. The nut doesn't fall far from the tree. And it is natural for a son to follow in his father's footsteps. In fact, sometimes you can even see a father in his son's footsteps as he walks. Have you ever witnessed a man walking and you can tell by his walk, he walks like his father? Dads, there are little eyes upon you. They're watching night and day. There are little ears that quickly take in every word you say. There are little hands all eager to do everything you do. And a little boy who's dreaming of the day he'll be like you. You're the little fellow's idol. You're the wisest of the wise. In his little mind about you, no suspicions ever rise. He believes in you devoutly, holds all that you say and do. He will say and do in your way when he's grown up like you. There's a little wide-eyed little fellow who believes you're always right, and his ears are always open, and he watches day and night. You are setting an example every day in all you do for the little boy who's waiting to grow up to be like you. And just as a child follows the lead of his father, spiritually we need the same. We need a daddy who can present a design. This is the way to live. Walk ye in it. Paul wanted the believers in Corinth to imitate him. In fact, later in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 1, Paul repeated himself with this qualification. Imitate me, Paul said, chapter 11, verse 1, as I imitate Christ. To the Philippians he wrote, brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern, to the design you have before us. In Philippians 4, verse 9, he said, the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Paul was presenting a design for the Corinthian believers to follow. Now, here's the problem. The problem was that Paul wasn't with them. So Paul sent Timothy to them. Timothy was to remind them both verbally and visibly of Paul's ways in Christ. Do you see it there in verse 17? But Timothy was so young. That's okay. Paul later wrote to Timothy himself saying, let no one despise your youth, but be an example. Be a design for the believers to follow, because believers need a design. I am thankful for the models of godliness in this place. I am grateful for the Christ-like examples that we have before us. There are some in this church, some of you in this place, who are selfless, who are servants, who are faithful, who are kind and gracious, sacrificial and obedient. And to the degree that you mirror the person of Jesus Christ, you give others a design, a pattern, a model, an example to follow. And we need that. I stand before you as your pastor, as your shepherd. But perhaps you don't know that I follow many of you as I witness the biblical design of your lives. For the most part, it's the older ones among us. It's the grandpas and grandmas. It's the gray hairs or the no hairs that we look to as young folks. We say, there is a man of God. There is a woman of God. And your design presents that example. Each believer needs a design. Verse number 17, you look at the end of verse 17. Paul says, as I teach everywhere in every church. Each believer, number four, needs doctrine. Needs doctrine. In Acts chapter 18, verse 11, we find that Paul spent 18 months teaching the Corinthians. They had been established and grounded in the truth by the best, by the apostle Paul. Of all the pastor teachers one could have, I would assume that Paul was about the best. Yet Timothy was sent to remind them of Paul's teaching or Paul's doctrine because believers need that. Over the years, the pastors of Fourth Baptist Church have been committed to the truth of the Scriptures, Clearwaters, and Pickering, and McLaughlin, and now by God's grace, Morrell. But the beauty is that whether it is Paul or Timothy, or whether it is Pastor Matt, the truth remains. The teaching and the doctrine is the same. And while there will be diversions and heresies that will come and go, the gospel has not changed, and it will not. Psalm 119:89 assures us, forever, O Lord, your word is established or settled in heaven. And so as your spiritual leader, as your pastor, I will not offer you entertainment because what you need is doctrine. I will not stoop to stories because what you need is the Scriptures. I will not waste your time with wishy-washy feel-good fluff because what you need is God's Word. Believers need doctrine. And I am here, like Timothy, the young pastor, to remind you of what most of you already know, to remind you of what the apostles taught everywhere and in every church. Verse 17. Verse 18. Now some are puffed up. Were you here last week? Have you been here over the last number of weeks? The Corinthians had a pride problem. And it polluted, it poisoned everything. Verse 18, some of you are puffed up. You don't say. You're puffed up as if though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but I'll know the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What do you want? How is this going to work out for us all? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and in a spirit of gentleness? Number five, each believer needs discipline. Because of pride, some of the Corinthians were convinced they would never be confronted in their sin. It's like the foolish child who thinks he'll never be caught. Until mom and dad, of course, inevitably find out. The Corinthians had deceived themselves in their pride. Paul's not coming back. We'll never have to answer for our conduct. They reasoned that if they ever did see Paul again, they would not be accountable for their corruption. But contrary to their hope, Paul was planning to come again, to come soon, if the Lord willed. And when Paul came back to the city of Corinth, and when Paul returned to meet with the Corinthian believers, he would call their bluff. You see, he expected the Corinthians to follow his example as he followed God's example. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father in whom he delights. So Paul, in following God's example, would return to correct them. But the Corinthians had developed a pretty good case for their conduct. They had crafted their excuses. They had arranged their arguments to justify their behavior. They were prepared to give a good word. Verses 19 and 20. A person's spiritual condition and spiritual character is not determined by his words, but by the power of his life. You see, all of us can talk a good talk. Many of us are smooth with our speech, but faith that does not result in right living, although it might have good words to support it, does not have power. And that is what James wrote of in James chapter 2. Faith without works is dead. Faith with only words is powerless. And Paul was hoping that the erring Corinthians would change their minds and change their hearts and change their behavior before he returned, because he did not want to shame them. He wanted rather to admonish them as those whom he loved dearly. You see that there in verse 21. What do you want? How do you want me to come to you? Do you want me to come to you with a rod? I don't want to do that. I don't want to beat you with a stick. I want to come to you in love and in a spirit of gentleness. I want to admonish you as a father who loves you. And so he asked them to follow their spiritual father. Folks, each of us has needs. We're a needy people. But I suggest that our needs are not so different from the needs of the Corinthian believers. You have them there before in your notes. We need direction. We need a daddy, a spiritual father figure. We need a design to follow. We need doctrine, truth, teaching, and we need discipline at times. Ultimately, I think the theme of this passage this morning is we need someone whom we can look to as a spiritual father figure. It may be one of your pastors. God has gifted our church with a plurality of pastors. It may be a Bible teacher. God has gifted our church with many good teachers. It may be a godly saint who simply models the Christian faith well. This morning, I would charge you to follow a spiritual father, one who imitates Jesus Christ, and consequently find your needs met. Follow your father. Ultimately, we have a heavenly father who exceeds and supersedes any human father. And that is good. That is good. Follow your father. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for the lessons that we can learn from the Corinthian church. Lord, they were a needy church. They had problems, big problems. But as a loving spiritual father, Paul compelled them to follow him as he imitated Jesus Christ. Lord God, we are a needy people. We have problems. Lord, I thank you for the men, even the women, who you have put before me in my life as models, as examples of the Christian faith. For me to follow. Lord, I pray that you would provide that blessing for each of us in this place. Ultimately, may we keep our eyes fixed on you, our Heavenly Father. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.